This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
We all deal with temptation. Sometimes we give in to the devil, as it's called, or Satan, or Lucifer, or evil, which is very real, by the way. Sometimes we give in to that, and sometimes we don't. There's a story of a little boy who's almost 4 years old, and he and his parents went to church every Sunday, and at this particular church, they had a children's service separate from the other service, and the children's minister was a very dynamic leader and storyteller. And so on the day that this gospel was read and then taught, it didn't surprise the mom that that afternoon, this little, almost four-year-old, pulled her aside and said, "So, Mom, what do you think about the devil? What do you know about him?" And she thought hard and long, and how am I going to answer this one? How am I going to possibly give him any kind of an answer? And in her wisdom, she said, "What do you know about the devil?" Avoiding the question, but really very wisely throwing it back to him. And he said, "Well, I know the devil talked to Jesus, and the devil was mean." So she said, "Okay, what else do you know?" And he said, "Well," and then he broke into a whisper and said, "If you and I and Dad went to the store, and you were in one aisle, and I was in another aisle, and there was candy in that aisle, the devil would come and say, 'You should take some.'" And so then the mom said, "Well, what would you say back to the devil if we were in the grocery store, and we were in one aisle, and you were in the other aisle, and the devil said, 'There's some candy, you should take some.'" And the little boy got this great bright grin on his face, and he looked at her and he said, "Oh, I would say thank you." We can relate. Sometimes we don't realize when we're being tempted, and we give in to it and maybe then realize later. True confession moment. Friday night, I had this dream, and it must have been toward dawn because I woke up thinking about this dream as it haunted me. And I was attending a conference or some kind of an all-day workshop where you can pick which event to go to. You know, you have your choice of different sessions. And a friend of mine was leading one of the sessions in this dream. And so I couldn't remember the name of the session, and I didn't see it listed on the sheet, and I didn't see her name either. So I went to the information desk, and I asked about it, and they looked through their list, and they said, "No, we don't see anyone leading a session by that name." I began to get angry, and I got aggressive and assertive, and I said, "I know that she's leading a workshop here. She told me about it." I gave the name again, and I gave her name again and again, and the people were looking at me like I was being very unreasonable. And I remember in the dream thinking, "I have every right to be angry. I have every right to be assertive here. I'm not being aggressive," even though I was. And I kept at it and at it and at it, when finally I said, "I need to see the person in charge." So they brought the person in charge, and I said to her the same thing, went over through, she looked at the list, no help at all. I became increasingly angrier, and I still remember observing myself thinking, "Well, I don't know, maybe I am getting a little bit much here," but I kept right on. And she finally said, "I'm sorry, there is no session by that name." And I then realized in this dream that my friend wasn't leading it, she was the assistant. Her name wouldn't have been on it. And I said, "Oh my gosh, I apologize. I didn't realize that my friend isn't the leader, she's the assistant." Well, by this time, the person in charge, I must have just been so out of control, was backing toward the door and walking out the door. And I said, "Are you leaving?" And she said, "Yes." And she went out the door. When I woke up yesterday morning, I thought, why in the world would I be having this dream? And it really troubled me. It bothered me. So I got up, I got dressed, and I walked down to the water, which isn't far from our house, and I sat, and nobody else was there. And I felt like I was in this little wilderness time, even though it was probably 40 minutes, not 40 days. And I sat there struggling with these feelings and praying and asking God to show me. I kid you not, I realized that I had been being really rude to a family member, to a close family member. I had been frustrated by the fact that she couldn't help herself more and that she couldn't help me more. And I was thinking of a few times this past week where I was kind of short with her and kind of rude. And humbled now in the truth of that time in the wilderness, I owe her a big apology. And I hope that it'll deepen my awareness of my own tendency to give in to frustrations from time to time. They can be sneaky, these temptations, and they can strike you when you are the most vulnerable, the most tired, the most hungry. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, he was starving. He had been being tempted for 40 days and apparently resisted. And at the very end, for our gospel today, he was famished, it said. So not only would he have been hungry, he would have been really tired as well. And probably pretty angry that this devil had kept pestering him and pestering him. And probably lonely. There's this wonderful acronym in 12-step programs, and it's called HALT. Some of you might know it. Hungry, angry, lonely, tired. Hungry, angry, lonely, tired. And the teaching is that if we are any of those things, and God forbid any combination of all four of those things, then use it as a signal to increase our self-awareness so that we can resist where we may be weak. So that we can self-reflect enough to say, okay, I better go eat something, or I better take a nap, or I better go be with a friend and talk this through. HALT. Hungry, angry, lonely, tired. When Jesus was driven to the wilderness, he had just had this amazing experience of being baptized. He hadn't begun his ministry yet. And out of the cloud comes God's voice saying, "You are my son, my beloved. In you I am well pleased." And what we can so easily forget is that Jesus was a human being. We easily forget that. Can you imagine how he must have felt? And he was driven by something to the wilderness. Driven to the wilderness and led in the wilderness the whole time by the Holy Spirit. He needed a time apart, and he knew enough to follow that leading to take a time apart in the wilderness to sort through what just happened to me. How is this new identity going to work out? The Messiah, the Son of God? How am I going to do that? And we also have to remember that he could have failed. He could have failed as a human being. And as a human being, he didn't. He didn't fail. He didn't kick in his divine power. He succeeded as a human being to become like us and to show us that we too can overcome temptation. So there were three ways that he was tempted in the wilderness, and they are the same ways that we are tempted in the wilderness. Everything can fall into these categories. Physical needs and desires, power and control, and security and pride, survival. Let's take a look at each one of these just briefly. The first one, with physical needs and desires, this also can be pleasure, our need for self-esteem and attention and affection. And we could be tempted in good ways for this and in negative ways for this. And the tricky thing is that we have to have food, right? And we want to have affection. There's just this line that can be crossed especially when we're vulnerable. And that temptation that Jesus had was to make bread. You're hungry, look, just make bread. The doubt that might have crept in was, would God provide food? If he had allowed that doubt to creep in. And he quoted scripture. One does not live by bread alone. And it shifted his focus back on God's purpose. The second one, power and possessions. You can also read that to be control. Not that any of us have control issues. I know, I certainly couldn't. It's psychological need for power, easy solutions, to have significance, look at me, achievement, to want to be singled out. And what we have to also think about is that what was going on in most of the known world was that the Roman Empire was in charge, and they were not being very kind to people and persecuting people. It would have been easy for Jesus to say, well, I'll be the hero. Sure, I better use my divine power, but he would have sold his soul to do that, to worship the devil if he had gone along with the deal. And the temptation would have been to save the world. But something kept him from doing that. The doubt that could have crept in, would God rule, didn't. And he quoted scripture again, worship the Lord your God and serve only him. No compromise with evil. He stood his ground and focused on God's guidance. The third way is pride. And I think that's what got me in trouble with my family member this week, because I kept thinking I was more important than they were. That my needs were way more important than that other person's needs. The temptation then is security. We dare God to rescue you, to rescue me, the devil says to Jesus. And the doubt that might have crept in, he could have thought, would God protect me? And apparently the answer was yes, because he then said, do not put the Lord your God to the test, and could shift the focus back on God's plan. When Jesus was tempted to turn the bread into, to turn the stone into bread, so that his own hunger would be satisfied, he resisted. But in his ministry, he would go on to feed the poor and be focused on others. And though he refused the opportunity for his own political gain and to be the hero, he would go on in his ministry to proclaim God's kingdom as one of justice and peace. And though he refused to jump off the temple to see if God would send angels to catch him, he goes on to the cross, certain in the confidence that God's will for life, would trump the world's decision to execute him. He knew that confidence, and what he clung to was scripture in that moment. Last week, I challenged you to do one thing that would nourish your soul for these 40 days of Lent, to take a little prayer time, to take walks in nature, to sit in your own wilderness and explore your own life. And this week, what I would encourage you to do is to find a Bible scripture that you can write down and memorize, and maybe tape it in your bathroom or put it in your car. And if you don't know one, I would suggest using, I can do all things through God who strengthens me. I can do all things through God who strengthens me. And to have the courage to take a look at our own ways in which we are this light in the world, and what we do that takes away from that, and ask for God's healing. For those of us who believe, we now have this human proof that it's possible to overcome temptation, and we can call on that when we feel the weakest, and call on Christ himself to hold us and carry us. And use this 40 days of Lent as our time in the wilderness, and allow yourself to be driven to the desert. Allow yourself to depend on Christ. Amen.